Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, a weekly podcast that gives you an in-depth look at the South Alabama Jaguars. You can find a new podcast uploaded weekly online at usajaguars.com or take the podcast with you on your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Just search South Alabama Jaguars.
Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, the weekly podcast of the University of South Alabama Department of Athletics. We are recording this episode on Monday at Sunbelt Conference Media Day from the New Orleans Superdome. And joining us as this week's guest is Sunbelt Conference Commissioner Carl Benson. Sir, appreciate you taking the time with us.
Brian, my pleasure. Welcome to New Orleans. Welcome to the Superdome. Welcome to the home of the Sunbelt Conference.
You know, it started last night with the first ever Fido Doe, and then you spoke again this morning, kind of what some refer to as the state of the Sun Belt Conference. To tell us what excites you about this upcoming season, what has you fired up about the direction that the league's going, not just in football but in every sport.
Well, on the football side, it's following up last year's season and especially the bowl season. Even though it didn't turn out, well for the Jags, for the conference in general, we had six bowl eligible teams. They all landed spots. They win four of the games, and you know that momentum has followed through. The winter and the spring and now the summer, and we approach the season. I think with a really high level of excitement and energy and expectation. I think that there are. Even though there may be three teams that have been kind of picked at the top, I don't hear another coach or another program that doesn't think that they're going to be playing in a bowl game this year, and that's that is a very, very optimistic approach that we're taking. I don't like to use the word parity. I like to use the word competitive balance. That when you have a lot of good teams, it's not parity. You have a lot of good teams. You got a lot of good teams, and I think that's what we have right now. Heading into the 2017 season.
Now, you became the fifth commissioner of the Sun Belt Conference in February of 2012. Talk about the progress that the league has made since you came to New Orleans and the areas that you've focused on improving to get to this point where we're at now, entering 2017.
Well, it seems like the vast majority of the time, was based on membership, and how were we going to replace the five schools that made the decision to leave the Sun Belt, and that started, immediately upon my arrival, and it took until August of 2015 to finalize it. So that was almost a 4-year process, but now we're almost 2 years, into our structure, and we haven't had to deal with membership issues. We've been able to work on other elements, whether it was our basketball tournament and solidifying a home for that here in New Orleans. Now as we talk about getting ready for next year's football championship game. I think that the overriding piece of it all is that the Sun Belt in 2012 took a hit, and there were six schools that were left behind, South Alabama being one, and I had to then create a model that not only brought in new schools, but satisfy the remaining ones that they were in a place that was beneficial to them.
You brought it up in part of where we're headed now, and I wanted to ask if you could tell our listeners kind of the thought process and how it went about to get the championship game in football put in place.
Well, again, it went in stages, Brian. If you recall, the NCAA several years ago required 12 teams to have a football championship game. So our initial membership strategy was how do we get to 12 teams and how fast can we get to those 12 teams? And, we added the Texas State and UT Arlington to try to create the Western Division. And, then we looked at the East to see how we, how can we get six teams in the East, and Georgia State and Georgia Southern and, an App State. And at that time, Western Kentucky was still in the mix. But we still needed two more football teams. And how fast could we get them? And Idaho and New Mexico State were hanging out there in the Rocky Mountains without a home. And we needed, a ready-made FBS football program. They were already FBS. There was no transition. And that decision to bring them in as football-only members was strictly to give us a chance to have a football championship game. And unfortunately, there was another change in membership, and we were now one left again, one short again, and then the NCAA changed the rules. We only needed 10. And so that made Idaho and New Mexico State expendable with no fault of their own. But from a business standpoint, it now didn't make sense for Idaho and New Mexico State. And we made that decision, which is one of the toughest decisions I've ever had to make in my time as a commissioner, was to, I've had schools, pull the rug out from under, me and leave a conference, but I've never had to make that phone call to inform a president that, we are not extending, your membership agreement. That was tough. But in the end run, it allowed us to then turn our attention to Coastal Carolina. And, the end result is that we've got six schools that occupy, kind of the western side, and six schools that occupy the eastern side. And it looks right. It feels right. And, on the football piece, with Arlington and Little Rock not playing football, then that gave us our 10 football members. And, we had to make some tough decisions then in how to get ready for a football championship game. And as you may know, the NCAA said if you have 10 teams, you either have to split into divisions or you have to play a full round robin, which would mean 9 conference games. And our coaches, our athletic directors, weren't ready to pull that trigger. So then that automatically put us into divisions. And that resulted in, okay, who goes east and who goes west? Knowing that South Alabama and Troy are right, dab in the middle, and you look at the map, and Troy is obviously further east than Mobile, and so that decision to move Troy into the eastern side and South Alabama. So, just describing it there, I wish it would have only taken that 5 minutes to do it, but it took about 3 years to get to that point.
Well, now, you talked about the phone calls you had to make out west, and it leads me into a question I wanted to ask about. Explain to our listeners really how league decisions are made. I mean, some I'm sure you say or suggest, but, you're also working with presidents, chancellors, athletic directors. Just tell us about who says what in these processes to you get to a decision of these schools, we can't renew them, or anything else, where the tournament's going to be.
The Sun Belt operates as a nonprofit corporation, 501(c) higher education nonprofit. So we fall under that, that corporate umbrella. The board of directors are the college presidents and chancellors. So President Waldrop serves on the board. He's one of my 12 bosses. And ultimately, the board makes every decision, especially those that have financial impact or academic impact, that the presidents are the last stop. I'm asked often about my relationship and who I work for, and I say I work for the presidents and chancellors. I work with the athletic directors. But at the end of the day, whenever there's a vote, I don't have a vote. I don't have a vote in anything except for some conference jurisdiction where the bylaws, give me the authority to make a, disciplinary decision or something like that. But policy decisions are totally, on the membership. And normally our process can start at the coaches level. Our coaches will meet, and they'll agree on a tournament format, baseball. And that recommendation goes to the athletic directors. And the athletic directors can either approve or deny that recommendation. If they approve it, it still will go to the presidents, the board of directors. Sometimes, they're not going to get involved too much in the weeds. But membership, and this is the one thing that clearly is presidential and CEO led, is all membership decisions are going to be finalized by the board. And I know that President Waldrop came in at a time when we were going through our membership evaluation and assessment, and he got thrown into that right off the bat.
For our listeners, and we're visiting this week on Inside Jag Nation with Sunbelt Conference Commissioner Carl Metzen. It's a typical day for you. What time do you get here to the offices in the Superdome? What time do you leave, and what do you do in between?
Good question. That my schedule is, I guess if there's 20 work days in a month, if you just kind of separate the 20 work days in a month, I probably am in the office 10 to 12 days, and I'm on the road doing conference business, whether it's national issues, whether it's going to a campus for an event. The typical day in the office is I live west of town, which means that I'm fighting traffic coming in, which means that I'm an early riser, and I beat the traffic, and usually we'll get to the office at 6:30 in the morning, and a little quiet time and coffee. And but I also try to beat the traffic going home, and try to get to the gym after work rather than before. I'd like to play golf whenever I'm in town, and if I'm in town on a weekend, I'll be playing golf on a weekend. Unless John Smith or Joel Erdman invite me over to Mobile to join them for a round over at Robert Trent Jones Trail Course.
What do you see as South Alabama's role in the league? What does the school's administration provide you and your staff? And talk about the fit and the match, because South's the lone original member still standing.
They are the charter member that has been continuous. Now we've got another charter member in Coastal Carolina. In Georgia State. Georgia State was a charter member in 1976. Along with South Alabama and a few others. They left the Sun Belt and have come back, but South is the only continuous since 1976. The addition of football to South Alabama, I think, really solidified their position, Brian, inside the conference. That not only are they the senior member, but they now have all those sports, and they are truly, one of the foundation pieces. Joel Erdman is now the senior athletic director in terms of longevity, around the table. And Joel has had a significant role in the AD structure. He just finished a two-year term as the chair of the athletic directors. President Waldrop is fast becoming an integral part of our governance system. He has just taken over the role of the treasurer of the Sun Belt and puts him into the executive committee, which is the current president of the conference, who is Joe Savoie UL Lafayette. The previous president, who is Denise Troth at Texas State. Mark Becker is the incoming from Georgia State, is the current president, Joe Savoie, the vice president, and that rotation. But then Tony becomes the treasurer and then is in line to move up. So he's now kind of inside the governance, and you know, I think that I've looked to Tony as being a very a good thinker, a good listener. You know, he was a Division I student athlete. He was a world class runner. You know, he gets it. He understands it. And yet he, you know, he also, I think, has confidence in people that are put in the places to make the, you know, to kind of run the league. So I look forward to working with him. But I think South Alabama has, you know, with the bowl game there, with the Dollar General Bowl, I think that South is just a stalwart in terms of the Sun Belt.
As you look forward for the league, now that you got a football championship game in place, what do you look for as kind of short-term and maybe a little longer-term goals that you hope to accomplish next for the league?
Our television contract expires at the end of the 1920 season, and we are hoping to move the negotiations up. So that'll be important element for kind of setting the course of the future. You know, the football championship game is still, you know, they're still planning to do there before we launch, but we want to make sure that event becomes you know, kind of our signature event, not to downplay our football champion or our basketball tournament, but at least initially, you know, that will be where we focus a lot of our attention. Our basketball tournament is still here in New Orleans for two more years, but we're gonna have to go through that process before too long to determine, you know, the right place. You know, we've been here 4 years. We think that what we've done on the basketball side is we provided a great venue and a great presentation for our student athletes. Our fans, you know, haven't embraced New Orleans like we thought they would. I don't know how we, you know, win back that basketball fan. We're not the only conference that's struggling with tournament attendance. I think it's happening nationwide. But we thought that New Orleans, you know, would be a destination. So we certainly have not given up on New Orleans, but we need to see some increase in attendance, you know, for the next 2 years.
Visiting with Sun Belt Conference Commissioner Carl Benson on Inside JAG Nation this week. You know, you got your degree from Boise State in 75, and you're actually coaching in baseball before you got into the administrative side. Worked at the NCAA office for a couple of years in the late 80s, and then you've been commissioner of three different leagues, going back to 1994, where you've been commissioner of the Mid-American Conference and the Western Athletic Conference, now the Sun Belt. If one of our listeners reached out to you and said, well, what do I need to do? How do I prepare to be a commissioner? What kind of advice do you give a person looking to follow in your footsteps?
Good question. And I get that question often from both recent grads, grads that have gone out and gone into the business world or law school or whatever to you know, to indicate they want to, you know, they think my job is pretty cool. How do I get it, you know? I fell into it a little bit. I started out as a baseball coach, as you mentioned. In fact, Joel and I have a common beginning in that we were wannabe, you know, big-time baseball coaches. We both started out at junior colleges and then drifted into administration. And I drifted into administration after 6 or 7 years of coaching baseball. And then I wanted to be a big-time athletic director. And I went back to graduate school somewhat late and then you know, got to work at the NCAA. And prior to that, I never knew what a commissioner did. Back in those days, commissioners were pretty low profile and under the radar. And, you know, you knew about conferences, but you didn't know that there was a conference office located someplace and that there was you know, a person there, and he's got his staff and all that. And so I was introduced to that while I was at the NCAA, and that opened then the opportunity. It was actually 1990, so I'm just finishing, or I guess I'm just starting my 28th year as a commissioner for the Mid-American, 18 at the Western Athletic Conference, and now 5 at the Sun Belt. But I don't know if the path that I took today is possible, to be honest with you. Seems like the commissioners that are replacing others are either coming out of kind of a non-traditional route. It always used to be that athletic directors kind of drifted into being commissioners, and you know, the only commissioner of the 10 right now that came that route is John Swofford at the ACC. He was the athletic director at North Carolina, and he became then the commissioner. So all the rest of us kind of took different routes, and you know, there's 32 conferences. So there's, you know, it's not as if there are a multitude of jobs. So it's a pretty narrow field, so to speak. But I guess my suggestion would be to try to come to work at the Sun Belt, and then, you know, move your way up. And when I retire, you can be the next commissioner of the Sun Belt. So.
Well, we know you're on a tight schedule. I believe John McElwain told me 17 interviews today. So right now, I feel like I got a 30-second shot clock, and to give our listeners a chance to get to know a little bit about you away from the job, first thing that comes to mind. And first questions, when you have what little free time is out there, what's your favorite thing to do?
It is golf. I enjoy golf. I enjoy the competitiveness of it. I can play golf by myself. I'll play one ball against the other ball. It's a hard sport. I don't practice, but I love to play. So I do enjoy that. I have a 25-year-old daughter that is in the broadcasting business, and I spend a lot of time, you know, tracking her on her Twitter page and watching her on YouTube and clicking in to watch her on the nightly sportscast at WATN ABC station in Memphis. So I spend way too much time, you know, not way too much time, but I'll try to catch up with her, watching her her broadcast from the night before I go to bed at night.
At the risk of potentially angering some Sun Belt Conference coaches, what's your favorite sport?
You know, baseball was my love. I talk about when I do walk away from this job, do I walk into some college baseball coach's office and say, hey, put me to work. I can hit fungos. I can throw batting practice. So, I mean, that's my love. But I've become a college football fan. I was on the NCAA basketball committee for 5 years, and it tired me out on basketball, just in terms of being a fan and passionate. But I can watch a college football game just about any time.
What's the best athletic event you've attended as a fan?
This is an interesting one, because I was both a fan and the commissioner of the Western Athletic Conference on January 1st, 2007 in Glendale, Arizona, when my alma mater, Boise State, a member of the Western Athletic Conference, beat Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl. And I was on the sidelines both as the commissioner and as a Boise State fan.
What event, what athletic event is at the top of your bucket list you've never gone to, which you want to go to?
You know, I've been to the Masters as a fan, as a patron, as they call a patron. My bucket list is to play Augusta. I've played internationally. I've played all throughout the United States, but I have yet to get that invite to Augusta. So that's a bucket list. As far as an event, you know, maybe Wimbledon. Just to be there on one day. I've been to the U.S. Open tennis in New York, but I think that's some of the tradition. Maybe the British Open. You know, after watching yesterday, the Open, not the British Open, but maybe that'd be it. The Open at St. Andrews.
What's the best place you've ever gone on vacation?
Let's see here. You know, back in the old days in the WAC, I went to Hawaii a lot. Got to go to some of the outer islands in Hawaii that it was totally away from, you know, from the business side. That was pretty special. I took my daughter for her high school graduation, just the two of us, to Paris. And we did a day trip, took the train to Normandy. And we actually did hand gliding or paragliding over the cliffs of Normandy. That was pretty cool.
It certainly sounds it. What's the one place that you want to go on vacation? You haven't been there yet.
Well, I'm leaving on August 12th to do a trip to Vietnam. And I'm actually going with Chancellor Hawkins from Troy to visit. They have a couple campuses over in Vietnam. And he's invited me to make that trip. I was outside of the Vietnam era by 3 or 4 years, so you know, was not impacted. But I was always intrigued with the Vietnam conflict and what it did and how the U.S. soldiers that were in Vietnam when they came back. I got to know some of them and got a great level of respect for the country of Vietnam.
What's your favorite movie?
An old Audrey Hepburn, Richard Crenna called Wait Until Dark.
Favorite book?
Depends on. A lot of times it's the one that I'm currently reading, but there's a Rick Riley book. It was his first golf fiction book that was. I can't even remember the name of it because it's been so long, but. I do a lot of reading. I like Grisham, I guess my favorite book just isn't clicking right now.
Favorite musical artist?
You know, I grew up as a Beach Boy fan, and I've seen the Beach Boys half a dozen times maybe.
And when someone comes in with your journey and decides that they're going to turn it into a movie and they make the Carl Benson story, what actor is going to play the leading role?
Oh, man, Gene Hackman.
We visited this week with Sunbelt Conference Commissioner Carl Benson on Inside JAG Nation. Appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Inside JAG Nation is a production of South Alabama Athletics. Any rebroadcast or distribution of this podcast without the express written consent of South Alabama Athletics is strictly prohibited. Remember, you can find a new episode of Inside JAG Nation every week on usajaguars.com or have them automatically uploaded to your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Keep up to date with the Jags by following us on Twitter with @USAJaguarSports and @JagNationUSA. Thanks for listening, and go Jags! Wow!